listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. For the last 3 weeks, we featured the new NK Band album, Revolutions. It now has over 64,000 streams worldwide, and it's been crazy to see the response from the new record. Tonight, we're going to do something really cool. We're going to feature the video performance that I released last week. So because we couldn't do a CD release party for the last, 15 years, we've been doing CD release parties at the House of Blues. Usually try to time the CD releases around our House of Blues shows. And now that venue's closed. And then now there's a pandemic. So, I've never not had a CD release show connected to an album release. So I thought about it for a long time. At first, I was going to do like a big giant listening party. Didn't make sense with everything that's going on with the pandemic. And then, it came to me. I said, I should go back to Village Studios where I recorded the piano and do a performance with the band. So I actually called the band members and talked to them about it. Actually, we did it all via text. I'm not gonna fib. We do everything by text. But, I was talking to them and, a lot of them were a little bit uneasy just because of all the pandemic stuff. They were like, it's kind of crazy to do anything, with other people right now because of the spread and the numbers being so high. And I thought about it a little bit more and I said, they're right. I shouldn't put them in harm's way for something that I really want to do. So why not make this really special and make it a solo intimate portrait of the record? So I was going to play the whole record all the way through. And then I said, there's just no way it's going to translate if I play the entire record all the way through on acoustic guitar or piano. So then I thought, okay, I'll do different versions of the songs. I'll play them on opposite instruments. And then I thought that's kind of silly because the songs were born on an instrument and I actually like preserving that. So I ended up thinking, all right, I'm going to take 5 or 6 songs and see how they can, sound without the band. And I picked these 6 songs, 5 on piano, 1 on guitar, very scrupulously. I thought, okay, as far as style, what I'm playing, the keys, the tempos, I thought about all these factors, the messages, what do I want, to kind of like have a performance that represents the record to be, but also preserve what the record's doing, because the record is like, it's become its own entity, which is really exciting for me to see, because it's got some political songs, it's got some, anthems, and it's got some really kind of aggressive songs, as you have heard. But I also wanted to show the tender side of this record a little bit. So I think by doing these solo versions, it kind of brought out a lot of that. So we're going to showcase all those songs. I'm just going to try and go through them. There's 6 of them. The whole thing's 35 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. It's called One Night at the Village. And we're going to start with the first song from the set. This is Give and Forgive.
Come to forget, I see we lies and how we live before we're dead. Take your time. There's no rush to find it out. Your heart will break. That's what learning's all about. Leave it space. Figure out which road to take in the meantime. Those eyes have said into my soul lifetimes ago. But drain and sense is a race we can't escape. How can we be all we ever strive to be? Take your time. There's no rush to find it out. Your heart will break. That's what learning's all about. In the meantime, give and forgive, give and forgive, give and forgive, give and
awesome. So really cool that the interesting thing about that song, I'm going to give you some backstory on the whole thing. So I actually contacted Village Studios and I said, you know, I've got this idea about doing this video performance. And Tina Morris, the studio manager, said, I've got the perfect director. His name is Alessandro Gentile. And, you know, I called him and he sent me a bunch of his stuff that he did at the Village. And I really loved it. And I was like, we can make this seriously super cool. So one of the things we did was we thought about how we were going to position the piano. We actually positioned the piano at a different angle than I recorded the record. But it was pretty much the same view, but, you know, just little things that I had to change. One of the things that I had to change was the octave of the whole song that I was playing on the record, because it was really ringing out pretty high on when it was solo. So I just moved it down an octave, which is the original key that I wrote, original octave that I wrote it in. And it just made for a better supportive piano part for the vocals. So it was interesting just to see little changes that you had to do for the record when you're playing with a bass player or with a band. And then when you're playing by yourself, how you make those adjustments. So that was one of the things. And I remember being so – Otis wants to say hello. Hey, Otis, how are you, buddy? He just had a snack, you can tell. Anyways, so one of the things that we also had to do, you know, we had to capture each performance as one solid take. So that was the hardest part about the whole thing because, you know, even if I, you know, originally I thought, oh, maybe we can stop somewhere if I make a mistake and then I can just do an edit. It just didn't work out that way. We had to get one whole take. So I decided to do three takes of every song. And if I did make a mistake on one of the takes, I would do an edit and see. I mean, I would do just start playing where I made the mistake and just resume then just to see if we could edit it that way. But it was going to be a nightmare for Alessandro just because, you know, they do these. I learned so much in this process. They do the clack, you know, like, okay, take four, clack. And that is what gives them the timing for how they can edit, where they know what where the footage is. And for we had a three camera shoot, so what made it interesting was you know, you have to coordinate the timing of all these cameras. So if I'm, you know, playing and doing these edits, he's got to edit three cameras not knowing exactly where they are. So I could imagine now I know why it would be such a headache, but at first I didn't understand it because editing and music is very easy. It's like, oh, you can just go right here and edit this take with this take and it's going to be fine. So the other thing too was, you know, finding the right tempo where the song would feel like it moves and it also feels a little bit settled. I think I was nervous definitely for the first take of this song or the first song. So I definitely was a little bit faster than probably I wanted to be, but I was very excited that we got a whole take. Mostly, and I'm going to tell you, it's the bridge. The bridge on that song is a bitch because it plays this little figure. It's almost like a very classical Mozart-ish kind of figure. But the figure's in harmony with each other, and I'm moving my fingers kind of like in complete parallels, but with different notes. So my brain is thinking, oh, these are the notes in the right hand, these are the notes in the left hand, but they're playing them together. So it's just weird when the figures are the same, because usually my left hand is different from my right hand. So playing that bridge was definitely the obstacle playing that song. The next song we're going to play is a song called To Be With You. And I mentioned last week that I wrote this song when I was a music student. And I used to, you know, hunt down grand pianos that were vacant at USC and play this song over and over. I just loved it so much. And I never, you know, wanted to put it on a record because I just didn't think it fit. And this is the record that it fit on. And I'm so glad I did wait. And I'm so glad I actually also played with the band on the track. But the one thing that I was thinking after we finished the record, I'm like, that song lived with me for 20 years solo on piano with just me playing it. And so I was so excited to play this song solo on piano. So here is To Be With You from One Night at the Village.
Yeah.
forget someday time will just tell. And I'll be with somebody else. And maybe then she'll start to see you. It's what that girl had meant to be.
I was super, super excited to play that song solo. It was just a really cool vibe of the song. And also, that song lived with me for 20 years solo. So I was so happy to do that song and just have a solo version I was able to represent the song. So, yeah, I love the album version of that song. It features David Ryan Harris, John Mayer's guitarist and vocalist. And along with the band and David Leitch on percussion, and it's just a really beautiful, beautiful arrangement. So I really love that there's now two arrangements, and I'm going to upload all these versions up on iTunes and Spotify. So I wanted to just wait till people just watch the video for maybe a week or two. So yeah, very excited to move on and show you more songs about this. It was really kind of interesting to figure out how we were going to shoot this. And also what we're going to put around the piano. We decided on lanterns and candles and just to give it a vibe and something beautiful to look at. But also, I never thought I would, pick an outfit that would be cumbersome to play in. But I had to adjust the mic because of the hat. And I had to adjust even just my sleeves on my jackets. Because when you're playing piano and the jacket's a little too long, which was only like maybe quarter inch too long, it's still annoying. So I wanted to be comfortable for the shoot, and we did the whole thing, and my goal was to do it in 6 hours. We did it in 6.5 hours, and it was pretty intense because we just kind of did 5 hours straight, and then we after we finished the piano songs, we did an interview segment where we kind of talked about the record, talked about who was involved with the record and why we decided to do this different way of doing a live performance. And, it was something that was a unique concept just because, I didn't want to put anybody in harm's way with everything that's going on with the pandemic. And this is a way where you get a concert that is in your living room. And it was, I mixed it with one of my engineers, Sean Jones, and it was recorded with Gabe Birch at the Village Studios. And we mastered it with my mastering engineer, Joe Bosey, who did the record too. So it was amazing because it was a different way to kind of like approach these songs. We had to get the director's rough feed of the video so we could see like how it was going to look and sound, just to see how we should mix it in a different context, and also how to make it easier for him to edit it with the visuals. So it was pretty crazy because usually with any of these video shoots, I've done a couple of music videos, and they've never, been timely. It's just they always go over time in the prep, but I managed to give us a month and a half to do this. We finished it 2 weeks early, so it was actually sitting in my YouTube channel for 2 weeks. I was so excited because I didn't have to worry about it getting finished. But I was very, very, very excited to have it finished and have it look and sound as good as it does, because I just, with everything that's been going on with the band, I always wanted to put more investment into making records, because that's what we do. We're a band instead of video shoots. But as I keep doing this and seeing how things change, within the industry, it's great to have something visual and have something mixed well. And I actually love working with people that know what they're doing, because you can make something much better than what you think you could do on your own. So it was, I had this great crew of people, Alessandro directing, Tim Corral was the gaffer, and Zach Salzman was the lighting guy. I may have switched those, but you know, whatever it is, they were all there. Yeah, so we're going to move on to the next song. Honestly, I told my mixing engineer this. I told my director this too. After I listened to the performances, this next song, it's called Power Through the Pain. And I told them both, I said, I feel like I did this 6-hour performance or this recording to get this one song recorded the way it sounds. Because I mean, I'm getting chills just thinking about it. But this is the one song we're really going to promote heavily off this video performance. But this song is the most timeliest of all the songs I think I've ever written. And it's just about, you know, kind of soldiering on and moving forward. There's a lot of people that are hurting right now. And this song speaks volumes to me and everybody else that I think it will resonate with because of what's going on in the world. So this song, Power Through the Pain, this performance, it just has a vibe. And I think you're going to see the same thing that I do. So enjoy Power Through the Pain.
Through the pain, I see you dancing in the rain.
Yeah, man, I got chills even just listening to it right now. Seriously, crazy. You know, it's seldom when you write songs and you feel like you captured lightning in a bottle. That song, I feel like I captured lightning in a bottle. There's something about that song. I knew it when I wrote it, and I just love playing it. I love singing it. I love everything about that song, the message. It's something I play a lot just to remind me to power through the pain. It's a big therapy song, I think, for everybody. But when I was playing it, you know, practicing it, I play a guitar solo on the record that I love. That's very simple and very, you know, kind of it's kind of composed. And I originally was going to play that solo on piano, and then I was just like playing it, and then the solo's got more and more noodly, and I started to like it less. And so I just started playing just a simple solo that was more chordal, more space, and just a little bit of flair. I definitely wanted a break after all the vocal stuff, and it just kind of had this really cool moment of just, you know, being simple and, you know, just right. So I was just happy that it just, I took a lot of the noodly licks out of it and made it just about the song, you know? So I was very happy with that piano solo. That was one of the things I loved most about it. And also just the complete take of it, you know, it's like the whole goal was to capture whole takes of everything that we did. And, you know, throughout the day, you know, we're just like, everybody's working and trying to get camera angles and doing test shots, and we're checking the vocals and everything. And that was the one song that I remember playing, and it was the second take. I remember it was the second take, because when I was playing it, I got chills when I was playing it. And that's always one of my favorite moments if I'm performing or recording or, you know, trying to create something. It's like when you feel those chills, then you know you've got something. And so that was the one song that was a relief after we finished the second take. I said, okay, I know we got the second take, so this next take will just be a take that, you know, I know we can coast and move forward. So yeah, I was really happy. I was really happy. And I even said on the camera, I said, that take two, that's the one, you know. And I'm glad I said that, because listening to it, I couldn't remember which take it was, because we did three takes of every song. The last couple, as I was getting tired, I think we did four takes. So, you know, it was cool just to see, you know, to hear it back, you know, a couple weeks later. I always take a little bit of space to listen to it, you know, later. But yeah, I was really happy with it. The next song we're going to play is a song called By My Side. It's also one of my favorite songs. I think I wrote it 15 years ago. And again, it's one of those songs I held on to for a long time, because I didn't know the right record that we would play it on. And, you know, I was just accumulating piano songs, and I'm glad I did, because now thematically it made more sense to present these songs as a collection. This song, By My Side, I always loved the piano part. I don't know what it was about the piano part. It was just a really cool, interesting way to play something that I could have played very stock. And yeah, just, I like the arpeggio in the chorus, and I like that it's over the, you know, the chorus is over the same progression as the verse. You know, I don't usually do that, but I liked that I did that in this, just because it was like kind of recreating a new melody in the chorus over the same progression. So sometimes I like to write like that, and this one just kind of popped out. One of my favorite parts of this song is it breaks into a 6/8, like a halftime groove in the middle for the bridge. And I remember writing that and thinking, that's so weird. Everybody's just going to be like, what was that? And until people know the song, they are going to be like, what was that? But somehow we made it flow, and I tried to make sure that we flowed in the song. One of the coolest things we did as a band when we rehearsed this song, I think it was my drummer, he was like, let's go back to the 6/8 feel at the end of the chorus on the outro. And so it goes back into the 6/8 feel at the end of the chorus. And yeah, I was not going to originally do that for the piano version solo, just because that's not how I wrote it. But I've grown to just really, really love that part of the song on the record so much. It's one of the peaks of the song, personally, I think. And so I just kind of wanted to create that as well. Here's By My Side from One Night at the Village. Yeah, that was a really cool performance. And one of the things that was really neat, actually, when I finished all of the songs and, you know, took about a week, I think we took about 2 weeks off before we started mixing it. And my mixing engineer, Sean, and I were sitting listening to takes and, you know, we wouldn't say anything to each other. We would just play the three takes or the four takes. And every song we both agreed on the take that we were going to mix. Because that's important. You want everybody to kind of see the same vision. But I was like, what do you think? I would always ask him, like, what do you think? He'd be like, I like take two. I'd be like, I like take two too. You know, so it was cool that we were, it made it very easy to work on, knowing that we weren't leaving a really good take that we both disagreed on. behind. So that was a relief. And we mixed all the songs in one day too. I think we did the whole thing in 6 hours. So it was really, really a great experience just to mix them and master them and just have them all ready. And then to see them come to life with the images, that was a whole nother part of it. So it was exciting. The whole thing was exciting to do. The last song that we did on piano was The Other Side. And this is a very different song than the studio version. Studio version has these like wailing guitars, and it's got this killer bass riff that our bass line for the whole song that's like really pumping throughout the track. And you know, when I wrote this song, I always knew that I wanted to record this song someday. And the funny thing is, you know, just to be funny to myself, which wasn't funny when I had to look for the lyrics, but I put these lyrics on the other side of another song, you know, just to, you know, remember the song that I wrote it on another side, you know, the other side. I wrote it on the other side. But years went by and I was looking for the song and I went through the lyrics, you know, I was just going through them all. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, yeah, I did it on the other side. Let's look on the back of these. So I looked on the back and I was able to find the song. And that's one of the hardest things about writing. It's like whether you save it on your computer or you're handwriting these lyrics, you always are, you know, at the risk of losing them. So I always have a huge sigh of relief when I finish a record because everything's documented, everything's finished, the record's done, the song is complete, it's come to life. Now it's, you know, completely gone through its whole journey, for life. So, but I always get worried about the songs that I haven't put in my computer yet or haven't done demo versions or, you know, haven't written them out, you know. So for that reason, just so I can make sure I can preserve them. And there's definitely an urgency with that because sometimes you write stuff and, you know, you've got something. When I wrote this song, I loved the riff so much, the piano riff at the beginning. It has a little bit of an Elton John vibe. It has a little bit of a Queen vibe, but it's got a lot of nothing too. It's got a very unique presence. And it's a really simple part. It's a simple riff. So I loved it so much. When we were rehearsing it with the band, big shout out to Ray Bergstrom for this suggestion. And I wasn't completely open to it right away. Just initially when he said, you know, in the chorus, the chords are A to E minor and they just repeat back and forth. Let's switch them. Let's go E minor to A. And I can't even tell you how big of a difference it made for the chorus. It made me fall in love with the chorus all over again. And as soon as we started playing it as a band, I was like, oh my God. I said, Ray, what a fantastic idea. So Ray Bergstrom, great call on the changing of the chords because it made a huge difference. And it changed the song as far as how we arranged the solo sections and everything towards the end. So also on the studio version, I remember sitting with the rehearsal tape. And I was like, I want to come up with a guitar line that everybody can play. And I came up with this guitar line. That's the one thing I miss about this version is I can't play that guitar line because I'm playing the song. But I love this version. It also takes me back to when I first wrote it. Here is The Other Side from One Night at the Village.
Drifting to a place where winds won't blow me, wondering if this is the way to go. 'Cause my road knows my end before I ever get there. Time can be a lonely friend. Where do we go? We all know what's lost and what's forgotten. No one needs a friendly face. I've been on the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. Been on the other side. Feel all this rage is gonna make me cry. Been on the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. myself someplace else. I play this game for all the rules, and sometimes it restrains you from doing the things you wanna do. Oh no. Just bring me to somewhere new that somehow seems familiar, and keep my clothes wandering right behind to find. When do we show the pain we know of losing all forgiveness? And trust is always sacrifice. I've been to the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. Been to the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry. Been to the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. If you love this pain, just gonna make me cry. I wanna take myself to someplace else. How can we live day after day when all we need's to be free? Mile after mile, time after time. Place where no one knows me. I guess this is where I'm supposed to be. We'll see. And as my seeds start to grow, my roots will never falter. We can be the light we need to be. So how can we know which way to go when every shore is crowded and everyone leaves without a trace? Now my conscience won't let me hide. I've been to the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry. Been to the other side. Now my conscience won't let me hide. Been to the other side. Feel all this pain just gonna make me cry.
You know, it was really interesting when I was looking for pianos. I talk about this in the video. You know, I was looking for pianos to record for the album. And I checked out a couple different studios. And then I was like, you know, I know Village Studios has got some good pianos. And so I looked up Village Studios, and they had Oscar Peterson Steinway in their studio. And I was like, man, Oscar Peterson is one of my favorite jazz pianists ever. I love the way he plays. His piano's got to sound like $1 million, and it's a Steinway. So I'm like, I'm going to see that piano. So I called Tina Morris, the studio manager. I said, I'd really like to come by and see that piano. And she's like, okay, cool. Why don't you come on Friday and, you know, we'll go check it out. So, you know, they let me go in on a day where nobody's using a couple of the pianos in the studio. And, I played Oscar Peterson Steinway, and first of all, it's just amazing just to play Oscar Peterson Steinway. And it sounded incredible. I was like, wow, this sounds beautiful. It sounded aged. It just had a vibe. It was his piano. But I did definitely notice that it was also very, it was very thin. And I was like, okay, that's all right. You know, maybe it'll be perfect for a recording. Cool. I was actually set on that. And Tina was like, you know, you should check out this other piano upstairs in the Moroccan room. I think you'll like it. And I was like, what kind of piano is it? And she was like, oh, it's a Yamaha 9-foot grand. And I was like, okay, cool. And in my mind, I was like, it's not going to be a Steinway. There's no way that's going to even compare to a Steinway. So I get up there and she's like, yeah, it's a great piano. You're going to really love it. I played one chord. I remember the feeling. I was like, I played one chord and I knew. I was like, oh my God, this piano sounds unbelievable. And it just sounded so full and rich and it had so much personality. And even the keys, you know, you can't really see it on the video, but the keys, I think, were made of ivory. And you could see little parts of the piano keys having little markings in them that were kind of captivating to look at when you're playing. So I just remember when I was tracking, I remember looking at the piano keys and just being amazed at this piano. It just feels, it feels like a good sweatshirt or sweatpants that you just are so comfortable in. That's what it felt like playing it. And it sounded like that too. So I played on, you know, the record. I did, I think, with 5 or 6 songs on the record on piano. And I couldn't stop thinking about that piano. I was like, I can't wait to go back and play that piano. So when, you know, we went back, that was one of the biggest reasons. I was like, you know, this will be a great way to showcase this piano. It's the same piano that Chris Martin played Sky Full of Stars on. And it also is Thomas Newman, famous film composer. It's his piano. And yeah, honestly, it's probably the only piano I'm ever going to want to play on a record because it's just that beautiful to me. And I'm always going to love playing it. The last song that we're going to play, I also wanted to do a little bit of a feature on this instrument because this instrument was made for me by a very well-known guitar luthier named James Goodall and his son. And the funny thing is, you know, when I was a music student, I lived with a friend of mine named Abe Dirtner, and he had a Goodall acoustic guitar, and his family was friends with this guitar luthier. And I remember he pulled out this guitar, and it was the nicest acoustic guitar I've ever seen. I was just like, oh my God. Then he played it. He let me play it. And it was just like, this is the most insane acoustic guitar. And so, you know, I went to the NAMM show and I saw that Goodall Guitars was at NAMM. So I went downstairs and I talked to James Goodall and I said, you know, you made a guitar for a friend of mine, you know, Abe Dirtner. And he said, oh yeah. He said, that's a standard guitar, redwood with rosewood back and sides, koa around the guitar. And I was just like, the bracing. And I said, how did you even remember that? Just the fact that he knew the guitar and all the specs for a guitar that he made like 5 or 10 years prior. I was so impressed with this guy. And, you know, the funny thing is I kept coming back to NAMM and I told him I'm definitely going to get one of your guitars. You know, I just didn't have the money. It wasn't the right time. And we talked for years about doing this custom acoustic guitar. And finally, I called him and I said, I'm ready to pull the trigger and I want to do a custom guitar. And if we're going to do this guitar, let's go big. I want you to get me the best piece of redwood. And I want you to give me, you know, I want to put my initials on the neck of the guitar. And I want to put an ohm symbol on the 12th fret. And, you know, it was just, I wanted to make it really cool, but not gaudy, but also kind of, if I'm going to make an instrument, I'm going to leave my mark on it, you know? So we all decided to call it Excalibur. So inside the guitar, it says Excalibur and it's signed by James and his son. And it says for me and it's a beautiful instrument. And I always wanted to feature it in something, you know, that I did creatively. So when you do it on a record, it just doesn't give the same kind of attention, you know, but when we were making this video, I actually went and overdubbed this part in the interview because I was like, I talk so much about this piano, I've got to talk about this guitar. And so I just have a little blurb about the guitar. And the top of the guitar is called Sinker Redwood. And what it is, the top of the guitar is from a redwood tree that fell naturally in the redwoods, and it actually sat in a riverbed for over 100 years. So somehow James had, you know, gotten part of this wood, which you can't get anymore. It's illegal. You can't get it, but he was able to get a bunch of the redwood when it was able to be sold. And this wood has these beautiful streaks in it. And it's just a beautiful looking guitar. And the funny thing is, you know, when I think about my friend Abe and I think about myself, he made guitars that look like us in a lot of ways. You know, his is, you know, kind of, it's got a red top, and Abe's a little bit, you know, kind of a red complexion in some ways. He's got the Irish blood, and mine is brown, and I'm brown. So it was kind of neat to see that. It was shocking when I first saw it. I was so blown away. When I picked up that guitar, I'll never forget it. It was like, I wanted to cry because, you know, it was the most beautiful guitar I've ever seen and played. But I was in a guitar shop and I was like, all right, this is great. I'm going to go and play this. And it still gives me that feeling every time I play it. So this guitar, I wrote this song on this guitar. So I was very excited to perform this song on the guitar. And, you know, we ended last week with the song I wrote for Zane Musa and Mike Aiyah and Karan Joseph that I dedicated to the three of them. So we're going to end tonight on this as well. We did three takes of this song. This was the last song we did. This is the last thing we did. And the first two takes, it was just tough to sing it. I was tired and I was exhausted. And it's an emotional song. And then I just like gave it to the song. I said, just, you know, let's just take a moment and just see what I can do on this last take. And so I did this last take. I love the take. And I remember I was welling up with tears afterwards. And I had to like kind of like just walk to the back and put my guitar away. And I knew we had it with this take. So this is the last song from the performance. This is called I Wish I Knew from One Night at the Village.
I wish I knew when your head of pain began. I wish I knew that you needed a helping hand. Most say I miss you. I know when I could hear you play again. I wish I knew what made this life so hard back then. Oh, say I miss you. Oh, say I miss you. never mean the same without you soloing here to stay. I'll always miss you on my laps, losing you in the greatest steps. Oh, ooh, ooh, I wish I knew if we'll ever meet again. But now I know how bright a star can burn. Most say I'm in show. Most say I'm in show. I didn't know you'd fall.
So that's One Night of the Village, everybody. And I know for the last three, now 4 weeks, I've been talking a lot about my music and my record and this performance. But, you know, this whole process with everything that's going on in the world was like my refuge. It really was in a lot of ways. And it was something beautiful came out of the whole experience. And thank you for listening. Thank you for paying attention. If you want to catch it on YouTube, it's called One Night at the Village. And I'll be releasing the songs about a month. And yeah, thank you for listening. And we'll start resuming with our normal shows for Wake Up Hollywood starting next week. So thank you so much. Take care. Big shout out to Renan for downloading these videos and making them available for you all to see, because I really wanted you to see the visuals. So thank you guys so much. Take care. Have a good night and stay safe. I'll talk to you guys soon.